fall into a hole. Ruth Rasmussen. Exhibit 8. John Wade's Box of Tricks. Partial list. Mouse cage. Stand-up mirror. Military discharge, honorable. Book, marriage, a guide. I guess Claude was in on it. Never said as much, but after Mr. Wade went off with the Chriscraft, well, I could see Claude wasn't all that surprised. Kind of smiled, if you know what I mean. The two of them got to be pretty close in this quiet way, like they trusted each other, like they understood how things were, and how there wasn't no choice, finally. When the old man died last year, I kept waiting for a little note or something. Kept checking the mail. Nothing. Ruth Rasmussen. He had happened to dissever himself from the world, to vanish, to give up his place and privilege with living men, without being admitted among the dead. Nathaniel Hawthorne, Wakefield. If you cannot believe in something produced by reconstruction, you may have nothing left to believe in. John Dominic Crossan, The Historical Jesus. For a while, Mr. Wade was in radio contact, just a day or so. He didn't sound so good. Rambling Rose, that's what Vinny called him. The man didn't make a whole lot of sense. Anyhow, it didn't last long. Bang, silence. Arthur J. Lux, Sheriff, Lake of the Woods County. They're gone, and they're not coming back, both of them. I mean, honestly, some things you best walk away from. Just shrug and say, who knows? I'm serious. You've been gnawing on this a long time now, way too long, and sooner or later you should think about getting back to your own life. Don't want to end up missing it. Ruth Rasmussen. Footnote. Missing my life. She's right. But there is also the craving to know what cannot be known. Our own children, our fathers, our wives and husbands. Do we truly know them? How much is camouflage? How much is guessed at? How many lies get told, and when, and about what? How often do we say or think, God, I never knew her? How often do we lie awake, speculating, seeking some hidden truth? Oh, yes, it gnaws at me. I have my own secrets, my own trapdoors. I know something about deceit. Far too much. How it corrodes and corrupts. In her gentle way, I suppose Ruth Rasmussen was trying to tell me something both hard and simple. We find truth inside, or not at all. End of note. Writers have an obsession with missing persons. J. Robert Nash, Among the Missing. Flies. You hear that? Richard Thinbill. We couldn't see the man. He was gone. Nowhere. His departure was a marvel. Sophocles, Oedipus at Colonus. My guess? I don't need to guess. He did it. Wasted her. That stare of his, the way he didn't even feel nothing. I seen it a zillion times. Who cares if we didn't ever find no evidence? All it means is he sunk her good and deep. Vincent R. Vinnie Pearson. I'm an optimist. Life after death, I believe in it. That big Chriscraft, it could go on forever. All the way to Kenora and then some. So I don't know. Maybe they're in Hudson Bay or someplace. I mean, they were in love. Honest love. Just like Claude and me. You could see it plain and obvious. If you want the truth, I keep waiting for that note in the mail. And I bet someday it'll show up. Ruth Rasmussen. I'm not in the guessing game, but I'll lay out some basic facts. Number one, they were in debt up to their necks. Number two, there wasn't a dime left in their bank account. Cleaned out slick as a whistle even before they headed up north. Number three, nobody ever found either boat. Not a single scrap, no oars, no life vests. Number four, the man was a magician. Tried to wipe his name off the Charlie Company rolls. Tried to vanish himself and damn near did it. Number whatever. Kathy had her own history. That dentist of hers. The way she used to take off now and then. I remember this time in Vegas, years and years ago. We had a talk about how sometimes you need to sort of unstick yourself. Maybe she finally did it. Maybe they both had it rigged up all along. When you think about it, they didn't have a damn thing to come back to. Reputation shot, no more career, bills up the gazoo. Christ, I'd run for it too. Anthony L. Tony Carbo. Those tourist maps he bought. If he's out to zap himself, why tourist maps? Sounds to me like a tour. Myra Shaw, waitress. Well, sure, the possibility occurred to me. I can buy one missing person. I get antsy when it's two in a row. Certain stuff always bothered me. Like on the day she disappeared, Wade spends the whole afternoon paying bills, getting his affairs in order. Only thing he didn't do was make out a will. Makes you wonder. Mainly, though, it's how he acted, if you know what I mean. The man just didn't seem all that upset or anything. Just sat around. His whole attitude didn't strike me. It didn't seem normal. Arthur J. Lux, Sheriff, Lake of the Woods County. At first, I thought she probably drowned. An accident, I thought. But now, I'm not even half sure. I told you how we used to sit around in the office and sort of brainstorm, how we all thought she seemed perfectly fine. Right after the election, she was almost carefree. Incredibly happy. Like I'd never seen her before. At the time, I figured it was just relief or something, but maybe it was more than that. Maybe they decided. Hard to say. But I know this much. She had the guts, and she wanted changes. Bethany Key, Associate Admissions Director, University of Minnesota. A person has to hope for something. So, I hope they're happy. They deserved a little happiness. Eleanor K. Wade. Yeah, if I know Sorcerer, he had some slick shit up his sleeve. Guy had a million moves. No matter where he is, though, I bet he's still got nightmares. I bet he's out there swatting flies. Richard Thinbill. Footnote. Swatting flies, yes, maybe. But still, it's odd how the mind erases horror. All the evidence suggests that John Wade was able to perform a masterly forgetting trick for nearly two decades, somehow coping, pushing it all away, and from my own experience, I can understand how he kept things buried, how he could never face or even recall the butchery at Tuan Yen. For me, after a quarter century, nothing much remains of that ugly war. A handful of splotchy images. My company commander bending over a dead soldier, wiping the man's face with a towel. A lieutenant with a bundled corpse over his shoulder, like a great sack of bird feed. My own hands. A buddy's bewildered eyes. A kid named Chip Merricks soaring into a tree. A patch of rice paddy bubbling with machine gun fire. Everything else is a smudge of hedgerows and trails and landmines and snipers and death. We moved like sleepwalkers through the empty villages, shadowed by an enemy we could never find, calling in medevac choppers and loading up the casualties, and then moving out again toward the next deadly little ville. And behind us, we left a wake of fire and smoke. We called in gunships and airstrikes. We brutalized. We wasted. We pistol-whipped. We trashed wells. We kicked and punched. We burned all that would burn. Yes, and these too were atrocities. The dirty secrets that live forever inside all of us. I have my own PFC Weatherby. My own old man with a hoe. And yet, a quality of abstraction makes reality unreal. All these years later, like John Wade, I cannot remember much. I cannot feel much. Maybe erasure is necessary. Maybe the human spirit defends itself as the body does, attacking infection, enveloping and destroying those malignancies that would otherwise consume us. Still, it's odd. On occasion, especially when I'm alone, I find myself wondering if these old tattered memories weren't lifted from someone else's life, or from a piece of fiction I once read or once heard about. My own war does not belong to me. In a peculiar way, even at this very instant, the ordeal of John Wade, The long decades of silence and lies and secrecy? All this has a vivid, living clarity that seems far more authentic than my own faraway experience. Maybe that's what this book is for. To remind me. To give me back my vanished life. Chapter 31. Hypothesis. If all is supposition, if ending is air, then why not happiness? Are we so cynical, so sophisticated as to write off even the chance of happy endings? On the porch that night, in the fog, John Wade had promised his wife Verona deluxe hotels and a busload of babies. And then for a long while they had cradled each other in the dark, waiting for these things to happen, some sudden miracle. Happy, Kathy had whispered. Nothing else. Does happiness strain credibility? Is there something in the human spirit that distrusts its own appetites? Its own yearning for healing and contentment? Can we not believe that two adults in love might resolve to make their own miracle? If we could just fall asleep and wake up happy, she might have said. And Sorcerer might have laughed and said, why not? And then for the rest of the night, they might have held each other and worked out the technicalities. Improbable, of course. More likely they drowned or got lost or lost themselves. But who will ever know? It's all hypothesis, beginning to end. Maybe in the fog, Kathy said, we could do it right now. And maybe Sorcerer murmured something about a pair of snakes along a trail in Pinkville, how for years and years he had wondered what would have happened if those two dumbass snakes had somehow managed to gobble each other up. A tired old story. If Kathy smiled, it was out of politeness. But maybe she said, I dare us. Too sentimental? Would we prefer a wee hour boiling? A tea kettle and scalded flesh? Footnote. Finally, it's a matter of taste or aesthetics, and the boil is one possibility that I must reject as both graceless and disgusting. Besides, there's the weight of evidence. He was crazy about her. End of note. Maybe so. Footnote. Because on the other hand, there's no accounting for taste. It's a judgment call. Maybe you hear her screaming. Maybe you see steam rising from the sockets of her eyes. End of note. Yet the evidence does not exclude the possibility that they ran for their lives. John Wade was a magician. There was nothing to call him back. And so one chilly evening he might have joined her on the shore of Oak Island or Massacre Island or Buckeat Island. Maybe she scolded him for being late. All around them there was only wilderness, dark and silent, which was what they had come for. They needed the solitude. They needed to go away together. Maybe they spent the night huddled at a small fire, celebrating, thinking up names for the children they wanted. Funny names, sometimes so they could laugh. And then later they would have planned the furnishings for their new house, the fine rugs they would buy, the antique brass lamps, the exact colors of the wallpaper, all the details. They would have listened to the night. They would have heard rustlings in the timber, things growing and things rotting, the lap of lake against shore. Maybe they made love. Maybe they wrapped themselves in blankets and fell asleep and woke up happy. And maybe in the morning they set a bearing north toward Kenora or west toward Winnipeg, where they would have ditched the Chris Craft and made their way on foot to a bus station or to a small private airport. Documents? Passports? He was Sorcerer. High over the Atlantic, they would have levered back their seats and unburdened themselves of all secrets, good things and bad things. Kath, my Kath, Sorcerer would have whispered, as if to summon her spirit, feeling the rise and fall of her breath against his hand. For both of them it was a wishing game, except now they were inside their wishes. and maybe one day they discovered happiness on the earth, in some secret country perhaps, or in an exotic foreign capital with bizarre customs and a difficult new language. To live there would require practice and many changes, but they were willing to learn. Footnote. My heart tells me to stop right here, to offer some quiet benediction and call it the end. But truth won't allow it, because there is no end, happy or otherwise. Nothing is fixed, nothing is solved. The facts, such as they are, finally spin off into the void of things missing, the inconclusiveness of conclusion. Mystery finally claims us. Who are we? Where do we go? The ambiguity may be dissatisfying, even irritating, but this is a love story. There is no tidiness. Blame it on the human heart. One way or another, it seems, we all perform vanishing tricks, effacing history, locking up our lives and slipping day by day into the graying shadows. Our whereabouts are uncertain. All secrets lead to the dark, and beyond the dark, there is only maybe. End of note. John Wade made his last broadcast in the early morning hours of Sunday, October 26, 1986. He offered a number of rambling incantations to the atmosphere, apologies and regrets, quiet declarations of sorrow. His tone was confessional. At times he cried. At dawn, just before signing off, he seemed to break down entirely. Not his mind, his heart. There were garbled prayers, convulsive pleas directed to Kathy and to God. He spoke bluntly to his father, whose affection he now demanded, whom he begged for esteem and constancy. And then, near the end, his voice began to sink into the lake itself, barely audible, little bubbles of sentimental gibberish. Your tennis shoes. Those hearts I drew. Only for love. Only to be loved. Because you asked once, what is sacred? And because the answer was always you. Sacred? Now you know. Where are you? A murderer? A man who could boil? At no point in this discourse did John Wade admit to the slightest knowledge of Kathy's whereabouts, nor indicate that he was withholding information. Which brings me to wonder. Is it possible that even to John Wade everything was the purest puzzle? That one day he woke up to find his wife missing, and missing forever? And that all else was unknown? That the clues led nowhere? That explanations were beyond him? Sorrow, it seems to me, may be the true absolute. John grieved for Kathy. She was his world. They could have been so happy together. He loved her, and she was gone, and he could not bear the horror. Winter came early that year. By late afternoon on October 26th, a half foot of snow covered the islands and shores of Lake of the Woods. The birds were gone. Wildlife was in retreat. The pine forests stood silent in their wrap of white. To the horizon, in all directions, there was only the vast ongoing freeze, everything in correspondence, an icy latticework of valences and affinities. John Wade had lost himself in the tangle. He was alone. The throttle was at full power. He was declaiming to the wind, her name, his love. He was heading north, weaving from island to island, skimming fast between water and sky. Can we believe that he was not a monster, but a man? That he was innocent of everything, except his life? Could the truth be so simple, so terrible?
This has been an Audible Inc. production of In the Lake of the Woods, written by Tim O'Brien, narrated by L.J. Ganser. Executive Producer, Kristen Lang. Producer, Mike Charzik. Music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 1994 by Tim O'Brien. Production copyright 2011 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.